Welcome to the Better Workday podcast hosted by Niamh Moynihan. Each week, Niamh shares tips, tricks, and insights to help you have a better workday. Everywhere you look these days, you hear people talking about the importance of a healthy work-life balance. But Niamh, what even is work-life balance, and how do I know if I'm doing it correctly?
Hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode of the Better Workday podcast, where we will be talking about the sometimes seemingly impossible concept of work-life balance. So look, whether you're looking to rediscover the joy in work, if you want to find more time for the things that you love outside of work, or you're just looking for tips on managing the daily juggle, you're in the right place. So let's get started. I want to begin by saying that work-life balance is more than a division of hours between our work and our personal interests, because when it comes to work and life, well, first of all, work is a huge part of our lives. And then life isn't more than just one other thing. It's our friends, it's our families, it's our hobbies, it's our time for ourselves. And so to try and put them into two separate buckets is doing neither bucket justice. And in fact, it's creating this real sense of unfairness in terms of how we can spend our time. And I think a lot of the problem comes from the first level of the words work-life balance, which is the image that comes to mind. So for many people, like for me for ages, it's the scales. Do you know, can you imagine the scales, and there's work on one side and life on the other side, and like we want the scales to be balanced, we want them to be even. So when there's more than two elements in the equation, as there is in this case, this balance in terms of a scales image isn't good enough. So instead, I think a better image would be, yes, I'm going back to food straight away again in this episode, a well-balanced meal, or my personal favourite, a delicious cake. So just like a cake, you'll have lots of different ingredients in your life. One of the big ingredients is work. Another big ingredient might be your family or another serious commitment that you have. And yes, they take up a huge amount of the recipe, but there's also sprinklings of other things like a bit of salt, an egg, a bit of milk. Please, bakers, don't message me about like how bad I am at talking about baking cakes and cake recipes. It's just to demonstrate the idea that we don't have everything in equal measure to create a well-balanced meal or a delicious cake. In fact, it's knowing how much of each ingredient is needed that's key. And I think it's the same for work and life and this idea of balance. Instead of us trying to have just two ingredients and balancing them, it's looking at all the elements of your life. And unlike a delicious cake recipe, which I'm sure there is a perfect recipe for, I don't think there's a perfect formula for work-life balance. Instead, it should be the foundation that supports you in your current season of life. And honestly, I never thought about work-life balance until it became a problem and until I reached a certain season in my life. So for years, I would have worked long hours happily, and I never thought, you know, is my work-life balance right? Until I started experiencing burnout, and I was thinking, am I giving too much to this? Am I suffering in terms of my relationships or in terms of my family? And I suppose in my 20s, that would have been, you know, I'm not meeting somebody who means something to me, is it because I'm spending too much time at work? Maybe my balance is off. So that was a season I was in. And when I was overworking, the work-life balance question popped up. And then again, you know, for years after that, I was working long hours and doing lots of hobbies outside of work. And I never spoke about work-life balance. I never saw it as an issue. But then I became a parent, and whoa, did work-life balance become a problem then? Because now it wasn't only my needs or my desires or my wants, but now I was responsible for others. So these other commitments weren't a nice to have, they were an absolute must have. And the reason I say this is that if you're not struggling with work-life balance at the moment, that's brilliant. That's great. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not missing anything. You're not not self-aware or any of those things. It probably just means that you're in a season of your life where everything is ticking over nicely. And isn't that fantastic? But I still think it's important to understand what we can do to support it, so that if you do enter a different season and you're finding a strain there in terms of being able to meet all your commitments and do all the things you want to do, that you know where to begin. Now, I think the balance wheel is a great tool for this. And you could either imagine it as a wheel or again, my personal favourite, a delicious gooey chocolate cake. This invites you to look at the different areas of your life to see where you might be overinvesting or perhaps neglecting aspects that are important to you. You would imagine that this delicious cake or the wheel is sliced into eight different slices or eight different segments, and each segment is an area that's important to you. So you could have work, family, friends, health, personal development, spirituality, finance, and whatever else is important to you. And for each segment or each slice, you would rate it on a scale of 0 to 10. So 0 being terrible and 10 being ideal. And from there, you can take a step back and look at the cake or the wheel overall and see, is it in balance for you? And what's important here is not everything needs to be improved. So you don't want to have all 10s. If you have all 10s, I'm guessing that you're not being honest with yourself, because nobody can do everything to a 10 all of the time. And if you are, perhaps it's a blissful moment, but it's not a sustainable situation. So there'll be some things that are 3s and 4s, and sometimes it's okay if there are 3 or 4. So we don't have to improve everything just because it's not a 10. But also, and I think more importantly, sometimes you can dial back in one area to focus on another. I find this an awful lot when I talk to people in one-to-one settings or in my workshops. And they are saying that their work is a level 9. And I mean, that's amazing that it's a 9. And there's other areas in their lives that are 3s and 4s and 5s. And they want to spend more time on those areas, whether it's friends, family or fun. And they can't, because a huge amount of their time and energy is going to work. And the question I always ask is, does it have to be 9? Is 8 going to be good enough? Because my guess is, in terms of your delivery, there'll be negligible difference to outsiders if you move from a 9 to an 8, but there'll be a massive difference for you. You will really benefit from just lowering your expectations of yourself just a tiny bit. And I think that's where taking a holistic view of your life overall is really, really helpful, and becoming a little bit more self-aware of your needs in those different areas. And once you have those needs, then what you can look at maybe are the boundaries that you need to protect each of them. For example, some people are integrators. If you decide to improve your work-life balance, you want to bring in a sprinkling of exercise or movement during your week. Some people will quite happily integrate that into their work day and also integrate their work into the rest of their lives. So you might decide to go for a walk on your lunch break or go for a run on your lunch break. Or maybe when you're driving to the gym, you might decide to take a work call, and you're absolutely fine with that. And you let things ebb and flow into each other and you're cool with it. Other people are separators, which means work is for work and other time is for other things. And that would mean that you do your run or your walk or you go to the gym or whatever it is that you do outside of working hours, and you don't check work or take calls when you're doing those things. You don't even think about work when you're doing those things. And there's no right or wrong way for this. I think it's just good for you to know what type of person you are. And this, like many things, is probably more of a sliding scale, but which one do you lean more to, so that if you are making changes, if you are adjusting the balance in your work and your life overall, that you do it with the boundaries that make sense to you. Now, if you decide to do something like the balance wheel and you've decided that there's an area that you want to improve in, it's very tempting for us to then make plans to make that happen. I'm a big fan of goal setting and a big fan of knowing what steps are needed to achieve the goals, but you can't be overly rigid in your plans for work-life balance. You know, the saying, life is what happens when you're busy making plans. Well, this is case in point. Because if you overplan every minute of your week, then if something unexpected happens, you're not going to be able to respond to that in the way that you want. If it's a good thing that happens, you might pass up the opportunity for some unexpected joy because you've already committed to a plan. If it's a challenge or a problem you have to deal with, you might feel unnecessary additional stress because that unexpected event is pulling you away from your well-laid plans. So when it comes to routines and plans for the week, I always say you want to be able to bend the routine and not break them. So there should always be a little bit of flexibility coming in so that you can, as I said, bend to respond to your life and things that happen, but not break those foundational routines that you're looking to put in place. Now, one thing that I have done in terms of an area of improvement is something that impacts nearly every area on the wheel. And for me, it's digital versus physical time. And I bring this up because I felt that my work-life balance was extremely delicate for the last while. And I realized I was spending a huge amount of time on my screens. So because of my work, I was at my computer or my laptop or on my phone, and then I would be watching television. And honestly, the TV part, I don't really worry about because I don't watch too much of it. But I was spending a huge amount of time living my life through my screens. And the way that our technology is set up these days, and things like social media and other tools that allow us to consume information, there's so much information coming at me that I felt like I had to do all of these extra things. All these extra things at home, all of these extra things at work, all of these extra things to look after myself. There was so much being put on my plate from all the things I was reading and watching and listening to. So I dialed it back and started being more aware of how much time I was spending in the physical world and the digital world in every area of my life. So that's personal and professional. By dialing it back and by being more aware of how much time I'm spending without a screen, it's really made a difference to my sense of work-life balance. Honestly, because I commit to less now, because I don't feel like I have to do everything. And that is one of the common obstacles when it comes to work-life balance, is that overcommitment. And quite often you overcommit to yourself more than anyone else. And trying to ask yourself, you know, what is really important and what should you be focusing on is very valuable here, because otherwise we try to do it all. And when we are overcommitted in any area, then if we find it very hard to disconnect from that idea. So if you're overcommitted, even to your home, for example, and you have decided you're going to completely renovate it yourself, you're going to do all the work and you're going to have it perfect, just like it is on an Instagram feed or in a home of the year. Even when you're not working on the house, you're going to be thinking about the house because it's a huge thing that you've taken on board. So it's not just about work, it's about anything that you overcommit to. It can consume you in an unhealthy way. And when you overcommit to something, it's not just your time that's impacted, it's also your energy and your attention. And it's so important that we remember that, because there's no point you having, for example, time on a Sunday afternoon to spend with your friends if you are so tired and you don't have the energy because of all the other things you've been doing all week or all morning. You're not going to enjoy that time. And if your attention is elsewhere, if you're worrying about work or about a home renovation or about a financial worry or about a fitness goal you set yourself, you're not going to be there with them. You're not going to be present with them. So when you overcommit in different areas of your life, it impacts everything. If you are looking to improve your work-life balance, or if you want to assess whether it's in a good place for you, you can use the wheel of life or the chocolate cake of life or the balance wheel, however you want to call it. But there's a few other things you could do. So I love the question, what does a Tuesday look like for you? Because like fancy things happen at the weekend and we're all really good intentions on a Monday. But Tuesday is a pretty normal, regular day of the week that if there's imbalance, you're going to find it there. So what does a Tuesday look like for you from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed? And are there things there that you'd like to change? But before you start changing anything, know what your non-negotiables are. So what are the things that are very, very important to you in this season of your life that you must focus on, that you want to give priority to? And they could be at work, they could be in any area of your life. It depends on where you are personally and professionally. And once you know what your non-negotiables are, you could use something which I call min and max times to tweak other areas of your life to create space. If you've been putting something off, you could set a minimum amount of time per day or per week that you're going to spend on it. So for example, I will spend at least 10 minutes a day moving my body. And if you find that something else is really consuming a lot of your time and as a result your energy and your attention, you can set max times, time limits. So you might say, I'll spend no longer than 3 hours a day in meetings, or I'll spend no longer than 3 hours a day on a certain type of work. And that allows you to shift where you spend your time and how much effort you put into things gradually to find a new balance that works for you. As we wrap up, I want to remind you that work-life balance is a moving, evolving, changing, living, breathing thing. It's part of you. It's your balance, your sense of balance in your life. And the ingredients might change and the importance of each ingredient will change as you move through life and as different things happen. So the important thing is not that you find the perfect work-life balance formula, but more that you find ways for you to identify if the balance is off for you and how you can adapt to those changes. So perhaps it's taking out the balance wheel, perhaps it's looking at what a Tuesday looks like for you, or maybe it's just going out for a walk on your own and tuning into your gut. I want to close with one of my favorite sayings. I say this in many of my workshops, nearly all of my talks, and that is, I want you to embrace the good days and accept the other days. Nobody's got it right all the time. You're going to get very used to me drilling this home. Nobody gets it right all the time. When you have a good day, when things feel really aligned and everything seems in sync, that's fantastic. Enjoy it, embrace it. But there will be days when everything goes wrong. There will be days when the plans go out the window. There will be days when you just want to draw a line under that day and have it over with. And that's okay too. They happen. The important thing is that the morning after, you wake up and you decide what's your intention for that day, and we try again. Because that's all we can do. I hope you found this second episode of the Better Work Day podcast helpful. If you have any questions, you can find me on socials. The links are in the show notes. And until next time, stay well and have a better work day.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Better Work Day podcast is about helping you have a better work day. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. You can find our social media details as well as any references from this episode in the show notes.